If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? When we say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.
Hey, this is Craig from the Matrix Success Network, and I'm the VP for International. Today we get to listen to Brian as he talks live on Facebook to Val Rogers. This was recorded live, and they share about Val's backstory and also the power of making significant goals, C-type goals. Brian's also going to check in with Val in about 6 months to see her continued progress. So let's jump in and listen to Brian and Val now.
The reason why I wanted to bring you on is because your amazing story. You know, you and I don't know each other that long, but we instantly resonated. You know, I feel like you're a really good friend, and it's, see, time is irrelevant. Time is irrelevant when you have people that you resonate with, when you're on the same frequency. And I've known people for 20 years that I don't have the same level of comfort.
I hear you.
In a couple of weeks, and you've just been amazing. So I wanted to bring you on and kind of have you maybe share your story a little bit. And guys, I think this is a story that'll resonate with most of you. If you've ever felt stuck, you know, you know, Val has her own story. I'll let her share it. But, you know, kicked in the teeth is probably an understatement, and life tends to do that. It's not like this stuff's not going to happen, but it's what we do about it. So, Val, if you don't mind opening up, because your backstory is really, really important, and just kind of share, you know, some of the struggles and where you came from.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. I just have a couple quick things to say in regard to the work that you're doing with the Matrix Mindset. One of the things I think about and I tell my friends is, how many Olympic stars, athletes, do you know that made it to the Olympics that never had a coach? So if you want to get to that level, why wouldn't we, quote unquote, invest in ourselves and have people with the same frequency and the vibration levels that we have and surround ourselves with that? So first of all, thank you. So I come from a very nice background, to be honest with you, and I really wanted to share that I had a great childhood. My mom passed away when I was 24. She was only 55, so she passed away of breast cancer. That was a huge turning point for me, because that began my journey of personal and spiritual growth. Since that point, I married my high school sweetheart. We're working on 25 years, and we're earning 25 years of marriage this October. So I have that angle as well. But after my mom passed, I really started my growth of searching out what happens to us after we die. What's the meaning of life? So Viktor Frankl, Conversations with God, all these books I started to read and helped to gain some information. So I've been studying, and it's a constant study. I will never stop. But I've been learning these things along the way. So I wanted to at least point that out, that there's ups and downs, but it's a constant reading, learning, talking with people, connecting with people. So, and this is continuing on the journey, having met you, because now we're in we're this spiral frequency where we can add value to our lives. So I wanted to at least let you all know of that. So having this wonderful little childhood, marrying the high school sweetheart and getting the perfect job and all that jazz, 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years in June, after 4 years of struggle of working at the University of Connecticut. I loved my job. 23 years I was at UConn. I got a master's degree while I was there. I worked with students. I engaged. I loved what I did. But like many of you out there, may get stuck. I have my own little sayings for this, so forgive me if it offends anybody, but I was working for the man and the man didn't really like me. So even though I was doing my stuff, nose to the grindstone, it was a struggle. And I had a lot of issues with my kids, with my relationship. My dad ended up passing away during that time, and I thought my boss would be more caring. So my script at that time, Brian, was, why is he doing this to me? Oh, I hate my job. I hate my boss. I love my job. I hate my boss. What's wrong with me? How can I let, what's happening to me? So I kept saying all that. And I would go through these struggles and evaluations that were poor, and I kept not knowing why I was doing so poor. I was working so hard and working 18 hours a day and not sleeping. Why doesn't he like me? What's going on? And then my script that morning when it happened, when I was let go, if you will, by the way, I used to say I lost my job. I know exactly where my job is. I never lost.
Good point.
Yeah. That morning, I was on the phone with a girlfriend, 8 o'clock, going under the tunnel in Hartford. And I remember lamenting to her saying, UConn is getting the best years of my beeping life. Mm. And I have so much more to give to the world. What is wrong? What is happening? And then the universe said, you know, yeah, we're going to move you over here. So I think when you talk about the how, I was putting that energy out there. I was putting out, I have so much more to give. Nobody's appreciating me. I want to give more. I want to do more. I have so much out there. And I didn't know how that was going to happen. But boy, did it happen. And it happened really hard, like a Mack truck hitting you. So 2 days after, boom, you know, it happens. I decided to tell my sister, who lives next door.
So, were you an educator, a teacher?
So I ran the Department of Public Policy at the University of Connecticut. I did teach a little bit, but I was an administrator.
Okay,
just to give you context in that. So we ran master's.
They ended up letting you go.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. And it was time. Yeah. You know. So it was. I look back on it now. I'm not supposed to say anything bad about UConn. No, it is what it is.
Nobody's watching.
You know, and it's my, you know, it's my story. So, right. You know, this is my story. I have no hard feelings. I live right near the University of Connecticut. But this is my story. And it's a hard one after 23 years, knowing that a boss, you know, you did your job. I got awards and things like that. So, yeah, and I still have a little PTSD about it. I'm not gonna lie. I sometimes can make it sound all hunky dory, but it's not. It is a constant struggle. But I tell myself, let it in and let it out. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not gonna fake it. I'm not gonna lie about it. I didn't do anything wrong. It just was my time. The universe. You know, I really do believe the energies that I was putting out there, I was meant for.
Yeah, you're gonna look back at that. You're gonna see that was a blessing. I mean, the same thing happened to me. I worked for General Electric for 10 years. I didn't let go, but the whole plant shut down. So there's 800 people instantly out of work. So I know, and thank God that happened. So I think you're gonna reflect back on, especially because I know where you're going.
Yeah. Well, exactly. I do want to just say, like, I'm a big reader, and I encourage everybody who's feeling like this book right here saved my life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When Smart People Fail, it was written in the 90s, so it's a little dated, but it resonated with me because I was a smart person. Why did I fail? What happened? So, you know, again, that constant learning and putting that out there, having faith that it's meant to be. So after all this happened, I talked to my sister. And that was one of the lowest points because my sister is very successful. They run $1 million tire business. Mm. And she said something to me like, well, we can't give you any money. You know, and I was like, I didn't ask for it. And I realized, I went home and I said, I'm smart. Mm. I'm like everybody else. Why? And my motto became, why not? Mm-hmm. Not why, but why not? Why can't I be successful?
Well,
why
choices,
can't
right?
I if do something?
If we only have two choices, that's what I ask. I tell people all the time, you know, happy and sad is a choice. So if we only have two choices, which one are you going to pick?
Right.
You're a perfect example of not letting your environment control your feelings. I mean, for the most part, right. I'm sure there was some roller.
Well, it hurt, right? You know, it penetrates you. It hurts. And you go, oh, but then I said, wait a minute. No, I got this. Mm-hmm. I dug down deep and I believed in myself. So that matters a lot. Self-image matters, being confident. But I did a lot. I do a lot of, you know, like you can do a lot of faking, if you will, you know, but I smile through it. And by just putting that out there, it helps, you know, and I say faking it, but not to the core. You know, you got to smile through some stuff, but you don't say, wow, I'm really unauthentic. This was my time to really come out and be authentic. So I decided I have A, B, and C goals. And maybe you could just quickly remind us, Brian, of kind of what those are, the A, B, and C's.
Sure. I mean, we teach this all the time. And I mean, Guys, an A-type goal is just more of a task. A lot of people are living their lives in A-type goals, which is just setting goals you already know how to achieve. And a good example that I always give people, when I had my construction company several years ago, we were doing about $1 million a year, which might sound like a lot, but we only get 10% of that. So it's a lot of work for a little profit. And I was setting goals of like 1.1, 1.2, you know, 10%. That's an A-type goal. What it means is I don't need to grow in any way, shape, or form to hit that goal. I already know how to do everything. Right, so an A-type goal is doing something we already know how to do. And the reason why we set those is because we don't want to fail and we're not taught how to set goals. A B-type goal, guys, now this one's going to resonate with a lot of people, is a goal that we set that's conditional. Like, when my kids get out of school, then I'll start the side business. Or when I get to a certain amount of income, you know, I'll start to go to the gym or something like that. It's conditional. When, you know, when my hours get cut back, I'll start to go to the gym. So it's conditional. It's like, when this and this and this, then I'll do that. And that never happens. So that's a B-type goal. Now, a C-type goal is what you and I have been working with and recently. And I'm not sure if you've identified that, but I think I know what it is already. And we can chat about that.
Yeah.
Set that's like, you know, when I set my goal to become a billionaire, that's a C-type goal. I have no idea how to do it. No idea, yeah. But like I said, people that know me, they've seen my revenue streams go from, you know, one or two to about 14. And I still have no idea how it's going to happen. But the one thing I'll say to everybody watching is whatever that massive, massive, massive goal is, if you already knew how to do it, you would have done it already. So you're never going to know the how. And that's kind of what we're here to talk about today.
Yeah, absolutely. So my A-type goal, I have sort of three prongs after. Interestingly enough, when the universe, you know, smacks you in the head with a 2x4, I had all this time on my hands. So everything that I had been saying for the past 4 years, I'm missing my kids' karate tournaments, I can't go to the dentist, those kinds of things, I would put things off so that I could go to work. I now had a plethora of time, if you will. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up doing with that time is reading and studying and caring for myself and being selfish in that regard. And I was really okay with that. I was collecting unemployment. I felt low. I had lost insurance. I had lost college tuition for my kids. Mm. My husband was like, what the heck? And we just built this great big home 10 years ago. Our mortgage was through the is through the roof. So, you know, it was a stressful time, but I was able to do volunteering, spend time before I now had time. And I'm a performer and a singer, so I said, a goal, I can just keep doing that. Mm-hmm. I don't make much money on that. I own a band, a 12-piece band. We play around. I now sing for assisted living centers, things like that. I was a prior USO overseas performer, so I liked doing that, and I thought, oh, I'll do that. My B goal was, when I get back on my feet again, maybe I'll find another job.
Right. So many.
But I didn't. Yeah. And I didn't spend a lot of time on the B goal because you know what I did, Brian? I did what you teach. I made a decision. Bam. I made two decisions. One I've already said to you. The first decision I made was I'm not working for the man again. Mm-hmm. And that was my own thing. We all have our own ideas of what that means because I knew deep down I could get a job anytime. That I didn't want to do that again. I'm not doing that again. And then the other decision I made about 3 days after I was let go, I was in the pool with my husband talking about stuff, and it just hit me like boom. And I'd been thinking about this, just thinking peripheral about this for about 5 years. And I can tell you why about that. But what I decided I'm going to do is a seagull. And that seagull is a $2 million project. Mm. I'm building a car wash.
Nice.
And it, you know, people look at me and when I, and they go,
I've gotten that many times. I continue to get it. You're doing what?
Yeah. They always think I'm going to get into entertainment, marketing, communication, survey, whatever, you know, whatever it might be. But they're like, say what? You know, car wash? What's that? And I made that decision and I've never wavered on that decision. I think that's also another important point that you teach through that. The other things that I've done is using the universal laws that you teach, surrounding myself with high vibration people. Mm-hmm. I can only do that for so long, right? Because it gets a little and then I need my downtime. But the connections I've made by sharing getting out. I also did that wonderful universal law of Goya.
Yeah, get off your ass.
Right.
I love that one. It's the forgotten law.
It matters. Get off your ass. Because yeah. I made this goal and I said to myself, I'm building a car wash. I know, the only thing I know about car washes, every time I wanted to get my car cleaned, and every time I went to a car wash, I saw people with wads of cash. Mm. And I was like, I could do, why can't I do that?
Sure.
Why not? So I made the decision, but I had to get off my butt. So, you know, the first things I did was Google, like, car wash. What do you, you know, what can I find out about it? Lo and behold, I started talking with my friends. One of the best things that happened is talking with people. Mm-hmm. And you learn from the inside out who those vibration people are. The ones that go, wow, I can't believe you're doing that. Sounds like a lot of work. Yeah. Like, okay, thanks. You know, I'll talk to you later.
Exactly.
My other friends who are like, oh, I know this guy that you should talk to. He was my sister's next door neighbor's best friend, but he owns 6 car washes. Do you want to talk to him? I said, yeah.
Perfect.
So those are the friends that you start. Now, those first meetings, guys, I got to be honest with you. I turned red. I didn't have answers. Mm. These people across the table from me were asking me questions and I was like, I have no idea. So I would go home and cry a little bit, but I never wavered from that goal. I told myself, learn it, keep going. And as I kept moving, I would get these different pieces. I'm a big fan. If you want to do something like Brian does, hang out with people that do it.
Mm-hmm. No, Val, yeah. that's a really, really good idea. I mean, most of the people that know me, it's like, I don't know anything about clothing. Zero, yeah. Right? I'm a mechanical engineer.
Well, you're wearing it. I mean, you know that, yeah. Right? Like, oh, right. It fits good. And yeah.
But 2 weeks ago, I was down in New York City with Damon John. Well, guess what? He knows a little bit about clothing. So I wanted to make a point here, because what Val's talking about, guys, this isn't rocket science. If you want to do something, it doesn't matter if you know anything about it. You just find somebody that's done it. And you ask them to show you. Now, if they won't do it, you keep asking. It's called the power of asking. If you have to ask 500 people, you do that. You get off your ass and you ask. But it's not rocket science. You find somebody who's done it. You offer to buy them breakfast or whatever it is, or maybe even pay for mentorship, whatever that is. And then you simply listen to what they tell you. This is the easiest principle in the world about mentorship.
Yeah, it's hard, though, Brian, you know, for me, and I hear what you say, and having gone through this, but I had all these preconceived, you know, it's like you had to hurdle that big wall.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a woman. You know, what am I doing in this industry? I know nothing about, I still call them scrubby things, you know, like, but I know enough about it now, you know, I'm learning.
Yeah.
And I've also learned, I don't need to know every single thing. I've got you've got people that know how to build software.
Mm-hmm.
You've got people who know how to make architectural plans for that business that you have. You just need to be the leader and sort of strong enough to spearhead it, because frankly, why not?
Yeah.
Why not? So in my journey, it is continuing. I decided to hang out with people that do this. I used to say to the students that I was a mentor with students back in the Department of Public Policy that would do public service and work in nonprofits. I said, look, if you want to work in a veterinarian's office, you're not going to hang out at the restaurant.
Right.
That just isn't going to serve your purpose. So I decided I'm going to hang out at the International Car Wash Association, the trade show. So, you know, there's one in New Orleans. We didn't have any money. I got a credit card and talked to my husband about it. And I said, let's go. And again, I had supportive people around me. The low vibration people, I said, I still love you. You're part of my life. We'll have birthday cake together, but I can't talk to you about that. Right.
So many
higher people. Vibration people I want to interact with because they inspire me and give me creativity. I don't want to be sitting home alone boo-hooing because my spouse is irritable. That's on him. That's not me. So again, mm-hmm. I had to break through all of these, all of these feelings and emotions, but I never wavered from the dream. And the more I talked about it with him and with people, the more convincing it became convincing and it was more concrete. I like to make the analogy that I'm giving birth to a concrete building and it hurts, you know, and it does because you got this gestation period of,
exactly.
of you know, I'm 3 months pregnant, but I don't want to tell anybody yet. So I got to be careful because people are going to give me all their advice. It's like dieting. Don't eat oranges. Yes, eat oranges. So I was careful in the early stages to take care of myself and to pursue and gain my knowledge first. Now I feel like I'm 6 months, 7 months pregnant, if you will, I can start telling people. I'm starting to show a little bit. You know, I got plans now. I got architecture. But the gestation period is there. My big hurdle, which is where I was introduced with Brian, was funding. And funding for a $2 million project. I would love, and let me just say, I would love to talk to anybody about any of this. You know, so feel free to leave comments down for Brian too. And I'm hopeful that we'll be able to continue these types of conversations so we can keep updated on this, because it's not one and done, folks. Like, I still need to build.
You're in the middle of it.
I still need to go through the SBA loan process, but a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders. When I first met Brian, I needed $200,000. Now, we invested my husband's entire retirement into this project. So we are all in, skin in the game. We used $200,000. It's a $2 million project. SBA requires 20%. Do the math.
Yeah.
Now, I knew what. Again, I'm going to go to this what and how that you teach. I knew what. I need $200,000. So I was thinking investor. So I started talking to people early on. Hey, you know, people I trusted that I kind of knew or had a little bit of money or might want to invest $10,000, $50,000, whatever it might be. I just knew I needed to get to 200. Another friend entrepreneur said, do you want four people at 50 or one person at two? I said, one person. Okay. So, you know, I put my deck together. I put a video together. But I stopped because something didn't feel right. You know, this intuition, the vibration didn't feel right. In tandem, I was working with somebody that helped me with business plan, profit loss sheet, the numbers. I got rejected from about three banks because I was too young, too early. I put stuff out there, but I wanted to keep moving forward, but rejection. All right. But I did my research. Does anyone know how many banks there are in America, lending institutions? 13,000. So I was like, well, I successfully identified three that don't want to accept me. So how can I make it better? What did they say? The first few times the bank said, you don't have enough money. And then I realized I can make that happen. And the second time they said, you don't have industry experience. I said, interesting. And then I crafted my business plan to say, you don't need industry experience. To be successful in a car wash, you need leadership, management skills, those communication skills, networking skills. I can hire people to do that. So I'm in that process now. But what I wanted to tell you is that what? So I knew I needed 200,000. What? Put out there my investor. And Brian and I talked a little bit about this. For 200, I was going to give them 10%. And then I was going to give them 10% profit for the next 5 years. Like, I was comfortable with that. Now, nobody ever came back to me to negotiate that, but that was what was in my head. What ended up happening is the universe gave me a different how. It presented something different to me. So I was open to that, right? Like, I didn't say I just was going with this. And
right.
I have a partner. Somebody came to me that I'd been working with, and he said, look, I'm in this community. I have four businesses. I've already done 16 deals somewhere else. I've got lots of connections. My kids go to school here. We've been working together. I believe in you. I believe in this project, but I don't want to be an investor. I want to be a partner with you. Now I can give you 200, 300, 400, whatever we need to get through. And I can go on the note with you for the bank. Huge. So my weight went, oof. You know, and so people listening to this may go like, wow, check. Yeah, no, we're meeting with the lawyers tomorrow. We're still talking, nothing's signed. But again, it's talking and it's getting out there. It's moving. It's making a decision. What am I comfortable with? Am I comfortable with what profit share with this partner? Am I comfortable with controlling interest? So I didn't know any of that. I still don't know some of this stuff, but you know, we talk in this venue, this Facebook Live is the place to express this, to learn this and to do it, because it's not just Brian. Like, you have your $1 million businesses. You know, I've got collecting unemployment. I've got, you know, I was a limo driver for a while under the table, because just to get by. I mean, you just sort of do these things, but every step I took provided me with further information to gain for my C goal. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I had to put every single piece of energy into my C goal. I really had to keep working on A and B a little bit, not necessarily B, but
you gotta keep
my singing.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say, because I know it's Facebook Live, but I hopefully will record this and everybody can watch it later, is my new saying now is I never want to underestimate my unlimited potential for capacity. Mm. Now, what does that mean? I don't want to underestimate my unlimited potential for capacity. Now, to me, what that means is I can still do my singing gigs. I say yes to people. So my big yes was somebody knew I sang and they said, do you ever do voiceover work?
Uh-huh.
I said, yes, of course I do. And I immediately went to my website and put up my voiceover. You know what happened with that? We've now created an app called Cloud9 Online. That's a full meditation app. And I write and record original meditations.
Oh, wow.
Now, this isn't your typical meditation app because y'all see me here. Like this, I'm not. A little bit like how you do your life script, Brian, I think, when you meditate.
Yeah.
But this is on Android. It's Cloud9 Online, and I'm on their administrative team. We do YouTube videos. We do newsletters. So I still I'm doing that in addition to this. I'm doing my singing in addition to this. And it made me think all those times when I was miserable and at work, I would come home and I'd be exhausted. You know what all this does to me? It gets me excited.
Exactly. Yeah,
it gives me energy to keep doing more.
Exactly.
And you exercise. So after your exercise, don't you feel great like throughout the rest of the day?
Of course.
So that's what this is.
There, but yeah.
Yeah. So those are just like the quickie little things that I really wanted to, you know, kind of just throw out there. Surround yourself with good people. Get a great coach. Continue your investment in yourself. Take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Eat potato chips every now and again. It's okay. Allow, you know, give yourself permission. Yeah, it's okay. So thank you for letting me, you know, share this part of your journey, my journey with you. Again, I'm at my computer. You know, I keep this really handy. This is like just how much money I need. This is my thankful for, I know it's a little hard to see, sorry. I'll read it to you. I am so grateful, so thankful to be a successful car wash owner by December 2019. I will be open for business. Mm. My pre-open goal of 400 memberships will be met and exceeded by my first year, increasing to 2,000 memberships. I'm so happy that money is constantly in my life, and I appreciate having $400,000 in my bank account.
Oh, that's awesome. Bam.
That's what I see in the morning.
Many good points here. The reason you might not even know the reason why I brought you on, guys. The reason why I brought Val on is because she is what we actually call an unconscious competent. What I mean by that, I wrote down a bunch of notes here. The principles that you're doing through all of your studying and stuff, it's exactly what we teach, but a lot of people won't do those principles. You know, every single principle you just mentioned is in Think and Grow Rich. It's in the principles we teach. It's part of the Matrix Mindset Academy. But you've been doing this all along. The reason why I wanted to bring you on is because an unconscious competent is somebody that's in harmony with the universal laws, but might not necessarily be able to articulate or teach it to somebody else. And that's what was so cool about meeting you, is because through all that stuff, most people would have quit. And we know this. We know this from results. Most people get to retirement and they didn't go for it. They didn't take the chance. They went back to work. And I'm not saying suggesting everybody to quit their jobs, but you're what we call an unconscious competent. Now, that being said, we can take you from here to, you know. And I know that you're going to have a chain of car washes, because you had already hinted at that. And I think that's part of what that partnership is. But some of the things I wrote down is the power of decision. See, guys, you're never going to know the how. Valerie had, I hope you can understand her story. As far as she never, and she still doesn't, you never know the how. You just have to make a decision, start taking steps in the direction, and figure it out, right? You say yes, and you figure it out. That's an Eric Worre saying, right? The knowing-doing gap. There's a difference between knowing what to do and actually doing it. A lot of people know what to do, or they know they want to, but they don't do it. And you close that knowing-doing gap. And then there's the power of asking. Now, where your journey is right now is where it is. If this investment doesn't work out, I just know that you will keep asking, even if it takes 500 people. See, that's the power of asking. The reality here, and the fact is, no matter what, if you hold faith and keep asking and keep moving forward and keep gaining knowledge, that physical form of that car wash has to happen by law, by physics and law, you know? And I mean, you went through terror barriers, right? Who you're hanging around with, the law of gestation, all of that came into play. But the biggest thing that I can say, Val, is that you held on to your faith. And most people, they just give up too soon, too early. They let things frustrate them. They get upset. And I think everybody here can see you've had a roller coaster, but you didn't choose to let that roller coaster beat you up. And that's
no. And I think because I said, if I don't believe in myself, Brian, who is?
That's
like,
exactly.
It sounds silly, but it's like, if I don't believe in myself, nobody's knocking on my door, giving me $1 million, $5 million. Like, if I don't believe in myself to do that. And it's odd because it gets easier. Like, once you do some of these things,
Of course, it's easier. What happened is you're punching through terror barriers and you make it a habit of falling forward instead of backward.
Yeah.
It's a brilliant story. I really appreciate your time this morning, and I want to thank you for coming on and being part of our Matrix family. It's a blessing to have you, and I look forward to helping you build out these companies, and hopefully this story inspires people to no matter what your background, no matter what's going on, no matter what's happens to you in life, those are just external stimuluses, and how you view them, if you can live from the inside out and be, I know that you're thankful for what you have, your husband, your family, your house, the things you do have. If you can stay on that positive frequency, it's only a matter of time until you get what you deserve. So thanks again for jumping on. It was amazing to have you. God bless you, and everybody else too, thanks for coming on. Hope you get some value on that. And Val, yes, we'll follow up in 6 months or so and see how you're doing, and
sounds good.
Continue to work together.
Thank you. You got it.
Be well. God bless everybody.
Have a great day.
If nothing else from this seminar, I want you to figure out, what the hell do you want? Not what you think you can get. What do you want? We say to make a paradigm shift, that's what you're doing. You're going to learn exactly how to do it here today.